I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello? Is anybody there? Ooh, what's this? It's unfeatured articles!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so fucking sorry. Welcome back to Unfeatured Articles, the show where we dive into the deep bowels of Wikipedia, finding the weirdest, most wonderful and wackiest things that we possibly can. Discussing articles that some might say they could be unfeatured.
Wow.
Yeah, wowee. I'm joined as ever by my illustrious co-host, Ragman himself, Drew Buchanan.
Hello, hello.
The infamous cat burglar, James Kehoe.
Yes.
And Lord Mayor of Brisbane, Lachlan Graham Quirk Hoy.
It's a pleasure to be here, everyone.
Yeah, actually, do you know what I found out the other day? I make so many references to Graham Quirk, but he's not Lord Mayor anymore.
No, he's not.
No, the
he's
Lord Mayor is a climate change denialist.
Shit.
And that's just
that sucks.
Fact. Anywho,
Let's just stick with Graham then.
Yep. Let's go back to Graham.
Graham,
what's Graham up to?
Graham, unironically, if I had to choose a member of the Liberal Party that I was like, cool, it'd be him.
It'd probably be him.
Was I.
Can I just ask, just real quick, up top?
Okay, again with the Lord Byron thing, if Graham Quirk is problematic and I don't know,
do
please
know,
fucking
do just... Yes.
What does the Lord Mayor do?
They're the mayor. They mayor things.
It's just a title, I think.
No, they're in charge of the
council.
They're
just a figurehead.
It's like the key to the city. No, they're in charge of the council and like the regional government.
And is there anything about communication with the Commonwealth? Is that a thing as well? Or is that not? Is that something?
I think that's the Governor General.
Okay.
I mean, we have bodies that exist for interactions between different levels of government.
Yes, yeah.
Well, but, it's just like, yeah, because like the, at one point, like, yeah, like currently Brisbane is controlled by the Liberal Party, but obviously the Labour Party's in power at the moment.
Sure.
So, yeah, I believe it's regional government, and the Lord Mayor is head of the regional government.
Yeah, as a rule, the kind of different levels of government don't interact too much, and it's just because, like, because we're a federal country, the states and the federal government are really separate. And
why do we keep coming back to the intricacies of politics on this podcast?
Quickly, before we move on, how much do you think the Lord Mayor of Brisbane makes?
Oh, like 500,000.
Not quite, a bit too high.
Really?
Yeah.
I think judges make, like 130 or something. Well, so I'm going to say $95,000 a year.
No, hang on. Because I know that the pretty much the basic level for a politician in the federal government, and I know this isn't federal government, is just above 200,000, which is the point where you start to kind of get tax breaks. So it's all very...
$297,266 per year.
Dear God.
And he'll have that for 4 years. So that's an easy mill just there, baby.
Does it say there what their salary in perpetuity is? They normally have like an ongoing salary.
That's not going anymore. That's not happening anymore. That's been phased out, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're not like giving ex-politicians pensions going forward anymore.
Oh, really?
Everyone up to a certain point, like Tony Abbott and John Howard and those lot, they get it until fucking they die. But I believe from now on, no one gets it.
Huh. When did this change?
Recently.
Oh, this is the first time hearing of this. I'll look into it.
It was like the only good thing that happened, like apart from gay marriage being legalized, it was like the only good thing that happened.
Good. Okay, good.
politicians
getting fucking money for doing shit all.
Yeah.
God, the day that
they already do.
The day the Australian government forced everyone to get gay married was a really powerful day.
Yeah. It was great.
Gay marriage is legal. Oh, that's really good. And also mandatory.
damn it. Oh, boy.
No one read the fine print on the postal vote.
They really overcorrected.
Yeah. Let's take a trip to the orphanage.
Yeah, please.
So we can fulfill our household. Lachlan, can I get a
There number? Is no way the state government would let us four adopt a child.
Oh, no. It'd be like three men and a baby, but four men and a baby.
The most unrealistic thing is that, again, government let anyone who wasn't a man and a woman adopt a child.
Right.
That's why I have two matching fake passports with the same surname. I got, like, 16 kids.
You got so many kids.
Yeah.
Time for one more.
My man loves adopting.
Let's go 1,000.
Yeah.
400.
Yes.
And 8.
Oh. Meow. All right.
Oh. Stop this.
We're not allowing this bit. I will reference it. Before the podcast started, James and Lachlan were like, What if we do a bit where every time James meows, Lachlan comes immensely?
I'm sorry, I don't know what
fuck
he's
guys,
talking
man.
About.
I'm really sorry for everyone listening at home. Yeah, Curtis is just making
so
stuff up
rude.
Now.
Rude. I'm so
me.
Sorry that you have to listen to this.
You toxic cunt.
That's low.
That's just... Oh, that's really messed up, that's man. Not even comedy, Curtis.
That's just not comedy. Like,
I hate my friends.
It's not...
I really wish I'd branched out in my early 20s.
Koretsky is a surname. Notable people.
So many fucking surnames on this list.
I know, right? Yeah. People don't like to link them. I'll link them.
Well, because I think the trouble is people that have these surnames, you don't link to the surname in their things.
You link to the name.
So unless the surname is significant to them, to their actual Wikipedia article, then I don't think they'd link it.
You got Clement Koretsky, who's a French cyclist, Nicolas Kerensky, a French actor, and Victor Kerensky, a French mountain biker. Curtis?
I won't do my PIN code this time.
Good, I'm glad. I'm so glad.
Zane's in the room. He wasn't here before. Zane, I accidentally said my credit card PIN number on the podcast before. And it was like, and Drew was like, it's also Curtis's PIN number. And I was like, okay, we need to cut.
Which was an incredible cold shot.
An incredible shot from the hip.
It was very good.
Drew did not know that that was Curtis's PIN.
Yeah. I will take 1996.
Ooh. Oh, I believe you've already done that.
I did 1995.
Oh, that's right.
I want to know what's after.
Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair.
What is it? Tell me now.
All right. It's a name. Okay, so this is Paulo Freire Fier Social Justice Charter School. Paulo Freire Social Justice Charter School is a public charter high school in Holyoke, Massachusetts.
He's chosen just not to recognize it.
And that is the entire article.
Excellent.
In case people can't tell, Curtis is back on the soundboard.
But you know what's funny? I forgot until just then. For 7 minutes, I was just like, why are there no sounds? And I was like, oh, fuck.
Lived in such a beautiful world.
James, it just keeps going.
I'm
going
to do 1997.
Oh! Well, then you'll be talking about, you'll have Pavard, which is a French surname.
Oh, no.
Two surnames. Did he change his stars?
So we got two people with this surname, Benjamin Pavard and Rene Pavard.
James, did he change his stars?
I don't think either of them changed their stars.
No!
Oh no, I fell down the well again.
Not true. All right. Who are we?
I reckon
I didn't play it again. It just keeps going.
I reckon we adopt the one that's not a
that's
surname.
That's not a surname.
Agreed. Yeah. Oh,
Paulo Freire.
Sorry, guys. Facebook coming through the headphones there. Naughty, naughty.
Paulo Freire, Social Justice Charter School. We are adopting you.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Let it be known.
And that's so many more kids,
that's
too.
A lot more kids.
How many kids do you reckon are in there?
In that charter school? It does not say.
Oh,
there's
we don't
very
have the
little
money
information
for this.
About the Paulo Freire Social Justice Charter School.
Damn. Well,
but it's in Massachusetts.
This is the perfect opportunity to fill out the Wikipedia article then.
Ah, yes. Mm. And we own it.
So who won?
The charter school. Is
you're the charter school.
Yay.
God.
Oh, God.
It sucks to be on this show.
Should.
All right. Who's our judge today? Stu Buchanan.
That is me.
Do you know when we started this show, it was James's idea, and he was like, I've got this idea for a podcast. And I was like, great, yeah, all right, let's do it. And I think James is kind of just like...
I regret everything.
Yeah, like, yeah, let's...
I regret everything.
Let's do it. Why not? You come on and do it with me, Curtis. Fucking fine.
It's...
you're a leech, Curtis, a leech.
It's fine. It's great.
Who's going first?
You guys...
What's up?
I put a lot of myself into this show, man.
It's good. We appreciate that.
I put a lot of myself into the show, and I just feel like I'm not getting a lot back.
Girl, we're giving. You're just not receiving. You've got that wall up. Take that down. Tear down the wall.
I can't.
Do you have the soundbite of the guy saying, tear down that wall in the Berlin?
No, wait, he does. Mr. Tversky, tear down that wall.
There it is.
Who? Do you mean Gorbachev?
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's what he said. That's what he said. He said.
That's what I said.
Yeah, he said Gorbachev.
As
Gorbachev?
Yeah.
Drew and I have recently decided to introduce Cheez It into our everyday vocabulary.
Good.
Cheez It.
All right, well, should we
cheese it? Let's just cheese it.
Cheese on with it. Who's going first?
I'll go.
Okay.
Do it.
What do you got for me, James?
I have something that I believe we talked about off air, but I don't think we talked about it on air. Print Wikipedia. I think, Lachlan, you might have been talking about this.
This sounds familiar.
It's an art project by Michael Mandelberg that printed 106 of the 7,473 volumes of English Wikipedia as it existed on April 7th, 2015.
Ah.
The project...
It's a waste of paper.
Shows that it is. You're right. The project shows the spines of the first 1,980 volumes of the set, supplemented by 106 actual physical volumes, each of which runs to 700 pages. A 36-volume index of all the 7.5 million contributors to English Wikipedia is also part of the project. The table of contents takes up 91 700-page volumes. The printed volume only includes text of the articles. Images and references are not included. The project was shown at the Denny Gallery in New York City in the summer of 2015. Essentially, it is a guy who went about to print all of the articles of Wikipedia.
Jesus.
Mandelberg originally thought of the project in 2009, but ran into technical difficulty. He then engaged an assistant, Jonathan Carinathan, to aid with the programming of the code to compile, format, and upload an entire English Wikipedia download. These print files were uploaded to self-book publisher Lulu.com and are available for printout as paper volumes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you can go onto that website and just like, I'm going to print out fucking, you know, 2% of all of Wikipedia.
Jesus.
And just have it in my
How many room. Articles? How many articles are on Wikipedia? Hang on. You keep going. I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, look that up.
I mean, my uni does, what, like 8 cents a page? I feel like I could afford that.
Yeah, probably. Mandelberg's motivation was to answer the question, how big is it for a data entity? Its size is on the threshold of what can be perceived as a collection of volumes, but not so large as to overwhelm one's senses, such as the data files of Facebook or of the NSA.
Oh, God, yeah. Can you imagine if you tried to print out everything that was ever put on Facebook?
That would, yeah, ooh. No.
Hey, guys, I'm back.
Yo.
Guesses.
How many
articles are on Wikipedia, Lachlan?
532,000.
Bit of a low ball. All right.
6.2 million.
I was going to go 2.5 mil.
How much, Zane?
Zane says 12 billion.
That's a lot. Okay, so we've got a high ball, we've got a low ball, we've got two boys in between. James, you were the closest.
Oh, yeah?
With 5.9 million.
Ah, sick.
Whoa.
5,903,480.
That's so much.
Well,
that's a lot.
It was low. It was less than I thought. I thought it was going to be in the low billions, to be honest.
Sure, yeah. But then you consider how much a billion is.
Yeah, that's true. It is, like, it is a veritable fuck.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I think that's too many things to exist, let alone Wikipedia articles.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
A lot of those are surnames, though.
The executive director of the Wikimedia Foundation, which is the corporation
I don't know, for some reason I just really fucking hate that name.
Wikimedia?
Yeah,
they're the people that do like wiki quotes and wiki everything.
That's the company that runs Wikipedia. We owe so much to them. You can't laugh at the name, we owe so much
no,
to them.
No, I'm not. I'm laughing at a joke someone told me.
I just like, the ultimate goal of this podcast is obviously to be sponsored by Wikipedia.
Obviously.
I just don't know how that's ever going to happen considering that how often they're asking for money.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They're in dire straits, those folks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if Wikipedia advertised with us, then maybe we could do like, I don't know, like a pledge drive or something.
We can generate some revenue for you, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia, we'll come talk to us.
We'll throw some cents your way.
We've got an audience.
Oh, yeah.
we're the 18th most listened to podcast on National Canon.
Damn. It's not 19th.
It's true. That's
factual. You've got to think about it that way. Executive director of the Wikimedia Foundation, Catherine Mayer, described it as... a gesture at knowledge, which is very, like, not positive or negative, just like...
Yeah.
A gesture at knowledge
as well. A gesture
well.
At knowledge is what this is. And Wikimedia did cooperate with the project, and Lulu.com, which published it, helped fund it. The task took 3 years, and the upload process took 24 days, 3 hours, and 18 minutes. It was completed on the 12th of July, 2015. Pedia Press had attempted to raise money for the full English Wikipedia printout on Indiegogo in 2014 with a goal of $50,000, but the project was pulled. Probably because, like, that's $50,000 to, like, a waste of yeah. a lot of things.
Yeah, also $50,000 to make a series of books on content that you didn't have anything to do with the writing
sure, of. Sure, that I could go, yeah, that I could just go on the internet and look at anyway.
That probably didn't have Wikipedia's approval to do.
That yeah. would be harder to index than yeah. just going on the site.
It's yeah. also so many trees.
It's a lot of trees. Yeah. The pulled project had intended to print 1,000 volumes, which would include 1,200 pages each, to 1,200,000 pages in total, equal to about 80 meters of shelf space.
Jesus.
Mandelberg later assured people that he won't be printing out the entire collection, which he didn't. As we mentioned, he had like 106 volumes were actually printed, and then the other like 7,000 were just like... spines on the wall, right?
Yeah.
So it was just like a gesture. It was a gesture at knowledge.
it's art.
It was art. The Mandelberg later assured people he wouldn't be printing the entire collection, claiming an entire collection is not necessary for people to comprehend the true size of Wikipedia. And once people have seen a portion of it, it will help them realize its size. Mandelberg estimates that the printing costs of a full printout would have been around $500,000. The Denny art exhibit featured only a selection of actual printed volumes, with about 2,000 of the other volumes represented as spines on the wall. The show revolved around the actual upload of the print files to Lulu.com. That is, I heard a little
I don't know tingle. How to. I don't know how to stop it.
That means we're out of time.
Yeah, sorry, actually, guys. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. We're out of the episode, guys.
Yeah, so is that...
That's about all I got.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's fun.
Okay, so I brought... If it's okay for me to...
Please.
May I?
I'd be insulted if you didn't.
I will allow it.
Thank you so much.
No, it's all right.
So I brought...
Just remember I do things for you.
I'll keep it in mind.
Okay.
I brought a Wikipedia article titled List of Strange Laws.
Ooh. Yes.
Now, it's a... I would say upsetting. It's an upsettingly sparse article. But we got a couple of good ones.
Some gems.
For instance, did you guys know that there have been a couple of places in the world throughout human history where it has actually been outlawed for one to die?
Oh?
Yeah. So the first example of it is the 5th century Greek island of Delos. I mean, I'm sure the... Oh, 6th century, sorry. I'm sure the island exists.
It does. Yeah. So I know about Delos. It's actually where it was actually sacred to Apollo. And there was a temple on there. And yeah, so it was not allowed for anyone to die while on the island because that would be seen as an affront to Apollo. Am I right, Lachlan?
Yeah, well, it was the like the tyrannical ruler of Athens at the time.
Yeah.
Cleon?
Pisistratus.
Piss boy. Piss boy.
Man.
Oh my God. Nyx is on Zane.
So
cute.
I'm going to take a picture of this for the Instagram. You keep going.
So Pissy came along and he was like, look guys, for this temple to be appropriate for our purposes, because it was supposedly this incredibly holy place. So he was like, okay, we can't have any graves near the temple. So what he did was he ordered everyone to dig up everything within the site of the temple and move them to like beyond the perimeter. It says perimeter.
Oh.
I'm assuming it means like the like eye line.
Sure. Yeah. The horizon.
So the order was made in the 6th century BC.
Mm-hmm.
By the 5th century, the entire island was cleared of all dead bodies. So not just within inside of the temple, the whole island was cleared of all dead bodies at a certain point.
Yeah.
And it was officially forbidden for anyone else to die or give birth on the island.
Oh.
Which you'll notice looking through this is kind of a common theme. So then you've got some, that's the only like old example. There are some more modern examples that date from about the, that's kind of the context of them starts about the 20th century, but they're fairly recent. So like there was in Brazil, there's a town called Biritiba Mirim, which filed a bill, I don't think it actually passed, but it filed a bill in 2005 that would make it, again, illegal for people to die. Because what had happened and was that they just ran out of space.
Okay.
Because, and you'll notice, so there's a couple of places where this has happened. It happened again in France in 2000. Mm. And basically, it's the modern history of these laws is just a bunch of places ran out of cemetery space and said, and we're basically like, look, this is a ridiculous situation. We're not being allowed to, we're not being given any more space to bury our dead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to put us in this ridiculous situation, then this is our ridiculous solution.
Sure.
And they just outlawed death.
Wow.
I'm just curious. Do you, like this, how do they police that?
I was going to ask,
like how,
what, okay, it, I die in one of these places. What's the consequence? Like, what happens?
Like, does your family have to pay something or like?
There is actually one of the places. Yeah, here we go. The mayor, the Brazilian mayor, didn't actually put any punishments into the bill.
Yeah.
But his suggestions, I guess, when they were debating it, were to fine relatives or even jail them if necessary.
Oh, my God.
And it's basically like this. All of these laws, other than the, I think the only exceptions being the ancient Greek example, and there's a place in Japan, the island of Itsukushima, which is just like a sacred place. So people aren't, basically you just have to leave the island if you're going to give birth or you're likely to die.
Sure.
Because it's sacred. But other than that, it's just places running out of cemetery space and being like, well, look, this is all we can think of.
Yeah.
And it, in a couple of places, it actually works. So in the mayor of Les Lavendau in France actually got given a new... Oh, sorry, he didn't. But later, another town did the same thing 7 years later in France and was actually given permission by the government to enlarge the cemetery.
Oh, there you go. It works.
Yeah. Apparently.
Just like outlaw the dead. If I need a bigger apartment, I'm just going to be like, sorry, I'm just going to like not let people die here so that I, because I've run out of space for people to die. So give me more room. Give me a bigger apartment.
It would also really rub salt into the wound of just any grieving process.
Top 100%. Like, I'm sorry about your husband. No. I'm so sorry.
I'm
anyway.
So sorry. Clink, clink. What's that? Oh, no. You know the rules.
You know the rules.
You know the rules.
Yeah.
We told you all.
Shouldn't have got cancer like an idiot.
So there's a couple more fun examples, like chewing gum banned in Singapore. Did you guys know that?
No, yeah. I do know that.
I think I did hear about that. Why is that?
It's apparently the Prime Minister...
Because Singapore are a bit strict.
Sure.
On a lot of different things. You know, if you bring drugs into the country, they put you to death.
I mean, I know that. But gums aren't drugs.
Drugs or hubba bubba.
No, that's right. That's the only two things they care about.
Yeah, well, apparently it was just, all it was there was a couple of prime ministers in the, it was the Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew, if I'm pronouncing that wrong, I'm very sorry, in 1983 said basically, when I was prime minister, people started, were just like vandalizing everything with chewing gum because I don't know why it was all of a sudden a problem.
Yeah.
But people were apparently just like, they were putting it all over all public transport. They were like shoving it in like the keyholes of people's doors and in their mailboxes.
Oh,
and
gross.
Eventually it just got to a point where the government said, fuck this.
Yeah.
You guys don't get gum anymore.
Fair.
Gum is a privilege, not a right.
Just their parents just like, you don't get to play Xbox. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's...
If you can't be responsible with your gum, then you're not going to have it.
So yeah, it was just, they've outlawed gum. You can't import or sell gum in Singapore. Tourists can only bring 2 packets per person.
Oh, wow.
Any more than that is illegal.
I got to get my fix, man.
Apparently, it's only the ban has since been partially lifted, so you can have like medicated gums. Yeah. So like you can get like a doctor can prescribe you like nicotine gum to quit smoking.
Sure,
but you can't just go down to the store and buy peppermint gum.
Yeah,
you can't get street gum.
No street gum. Well, you can.
Oh yeah,
it'll cost you.
It'll cost a premium.
Yeah.
And then just like a couple of other fun ones in Jamaica, Saudi Arabia, and Barbados, it is illegal to dress in camouflage clothing.
Okay.
That is the only information this page has.
That's it. Okay.
And the other one I really liked was apparently there was a statute. It's called the Statute Forbidding Bearing of Armor or Coming Armed to Parliament Act 1313, where basically After the king at the time, King Edward II, had a bunch of trouble with all of his lords and barons and stuff coming to Parliament. Basically, what they would do is they had been trying to restrict the king's power for a while, for like a little while at this point. And the king was not, it was still at a point where like the king could do whatever they wanted. And obviously, the king was not listening to people.
Sure.
So they decided, fuck this. I'm going to show up to Parliament wearing a full suit of armor with a sword on my hilt. And you're going to fucking listen to me. So after a surprisingly successful Parliament session where like all of the lords showed up and were like, just in full armor, like, what's up, idiot? We're going to kill you if you don't do what we say. That's when they managed to get the laws that restricted the king's power, finally.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And immediately...
That's under duress, if I've ever
Yeah. Well, the king was like, hey, you can't just show up with swords all the time and tell me what to do.
Stop it. No, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, so he made it just straight up illegal to... wear to come wearing armor or armed in Parliament. And it didn't work. The Earl of Lancaster, so it was passed in 1313. Yeah. The Earl of Lancaster then in 1316, 1318, and twice in 1319 showed up to Parliament in full arms.
It's like I wouldn't have gotten the idea if you hadn't made the law, so thanks for that.
In all fairness to the Earl of Lancaster, they didn't have washing machines back then.
That's true.
Yeah. You had to hand wash everything. Yeah. Like,
what else
some
was
days,
he gonna
wear? Yeah, some days, like, he's probably too much mead at the pub last night.
Totally. We've all
he's
been
got
there.
He's got nothing to wear, so he's like, oh, I've got the armor. I know they told me not to, but it's fine.
Just do a cheeky,
But yeah, so that was, that's just like some silly laws we did. We did some silly ones.
Just on the suit of armor thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which king was that?
King Edward II.
Okay. Well, this links to that, I believe. So you guys know about like how in kind of the 1600s, England very briefly overthrew the monarchy.
Yes. Did they?
Yeah, the Protestants.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So they overthrew the monarchy, installed the English Republic, and then like 20 years later were like, nah, and brought back the king's son after they executed the last king.
Yeah, didn't they like, exile him to France? Yeah. And then they went over and they were like, hey, man.
Big dog. We messed up.
We wanged it on this one.
But because the reason that they ended the monarchy and executed King Charles I was because he disbanded Parliament. Because he was like, you're all fired. Huh. So there was no parliament for a bit. It was just the king.
Yeah.
And so they revolted. But I'm pretty sure when they brought back the new king, they made a rule that the king couldn't enter parliament.
Ah,
and
that was only
like in the last kind of 100 or so and 50 so
separation
years.
Separation of powers, yeah.
Was like rescinded.
Yeah.
Because they were like, no, we'll do our thing. You do your thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, without getting too into it, that's kind of British legal history.
Yeah.
Because
it's them consistently trying to figure out how much power the king or queen has.
Yeah, well, the whole legal system is basically based around, like most laws that we have in Australia, and because our legal system comes from England, are based on judicial decisions. Basically, the reason for the decision of a judge is binding on the judges of all lower courts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's applicable. And then Parliament just kind of makes laws on top of that to vary things.
Yeah.
So you couldn't read all of Australia's laws, all of Australia's acts of Parliament and know Australia's laws. You would have to read all of Australia's up-to-date cases and then kind of maybe read the acts, but whatever. But because it's basically like the English legal tradition is now seems like it makes sense because we have all these, all this stuff to look back on. We have this like rich history, but is really just a result of the king kind of showing up and being like, I don't really want to deal with this. So, you guys just like, goes to the judges and is like, you guys do whatever. I'm gonna chill over here.
Yeah.
And, I guess tell each other what to do, so it kind of makes sense. Anyway, peace because, out.
Yeah, it's like it's one king going, I don't want to deal with any of that. You guys sort it out. And then another king like later going, no, I want more power. I want to do that. But they're like, but we be doing this. And then they just fight. But there is a wonderful, fantastic play. I'm going to do a bit of acting talk now, called King Charles III. And it is a future history play written in iambic pentameter. So in the style of Shakespeare, about Charles, as in Prince Charles.
Yeah.
So him becoming king after Queen Elizabeth dies and then causing a parliamentary breakdown because he refuses to sign in a law. And it's not the king's job or queen's job to be like, no, I don't want this law to be a thing.
Yeah.
They just have to go, okay, my government in my name has enacted this law. I have to sign it. So, really, but he goes, I don't like this law. I'm not signing it. And then he goes into parliament and disbands parliament. So it's kind of like, it's a reflection on... it's a comment on where the monarchy could go and the severe kind of Republican sentiment in like a lot of places.
Old rules. That.
And then, and then it's kind of like a repeat of what happened with King Charles I.
Yeah, because I mean, that's all the common law system is just letting the law do whatever it wants and then realizing we fucked up and changing it after.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it that would have fit within the grand English tradition. Totally. So.
Speaking of grand English tradition, I'm going to talk about the Great Stink.
Oh, can I just say one more quick thing?
Oh, please.
In 1897, I think it was Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Indiana General Assembly tried to legislate the definition of pie and they were wrong. And that's just very funny.
Oh, no. Pie, as in the number or the treat?
As in the mathematical thing, pie. They tried to make a law that said what pie was and then everyone was like, we've known pie better than this since like ancient times. What
that's
the fuck
so
are you
weird.
Doing? Yeah, they use it in like, they try to use a method that's been disproven that like was proven to not be actually mathematically accurate so long ago. Anyway, just very funny.
Classic Indiana.
Oh.
The Great Stink.
Great Stink. No, I want to talk about how much I hate Indiana now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is the new
state of Indiana. It's my big hill I'll die on. No, the Great Stink was an event.
Is that what you just did in the bathroom?
Poopy.
I haven't been able to poo since 1992. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
I didn't know.
It does rhyme, but it's
very sad.
It's really, really just a problem.
Yeah.
Something to say, Lachlan?
And as soon as you finish your greens, I'll let you.
Dad!
I need to go to the bar.
I don't need a bar. The Great Stink was an event in central London in July and August 1858 where I, Curtis Lang, went to the bathroom. During which the hot weather exacerbated the smell of untreated human waste and industrial effluent that was present on the banks of the River Thames.
Oh.
So, bit of backstory. This was during the time when the sewers, they just dumped into the Thames.
Yeah.
So, before sewers were like, there was proper sewage or anything like that. And like, you know, it's kind of like... the River Ganges is just fucked, right?
Oh,
big time. Ganges is fucked. It's like if there's parts of it, if you go in, it's like that bit with a fish in The Simpsons jumps into the river and then it comes out with three eyes.
Yeah.
So all this human waste and this industrial waste was just dumping into the Thames.
Yeah.
And then for like a while, this it says whenever the word miasma is used,
oh boy,
you fucked up.
Yeah.
The miasma from the effluent was thought to transmit contagious diseases, and three outbreaks of cholera before the Great Stink were blamed on the ongoing problems with the river. The smell and fears of its possible effects prompted action from the local and national administrators who had been considering possible solutions for the problem. The authorities accepted a proposal from the civil engineer Joseph Balzaghetti, to whom the effluent eastwards along a series of interconnecting sewers that sloped towards outfalls beyond the metropolitan area.
Sure.
So this guy pretty much was just like, he came in and he just fixed the sewage system.
He was like, hey, what if the shit was out of London?
Out of London.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they, in a similar vein, the way they discovered what cholera was and like what caused it was because, similarly in London, some woman was washing her baby who had cholera's nappies in a well.
Oh no.
So,
and then a bunch of people drank that water.
London. My point being, yeah, London, it just kind of was like that in London then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
London was just a little wacky.
Yeah. What year was this?
Cholera is an infection of the small intestine. Oh, that ain't good.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, no, you don't want cholera.
It's bad juju.
Well, people don't really get it in the first world anymore, do they?
Not as a rule. It's one of those like unsafe drinking things.
Fun fact. Yo. Do you know that the concept, you probably know this, on the concept of the first and the third world comes from the Cold War? Because the first world is countries that are allies of America.
Oh.
The second world is countries that are allies of the Soviet Union. Oh. And the third world is actually just neutral countries.
Oh,
so Ireland,
really?
Ireland was a third world.
Huh.
And the idea that like third world is like poor countries and underdeveloped, not true.
Wow.
It's just like, that's not where the term originated.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
this weird thing that we've kind of warped.
Well, because right. it's just a matter of like, and obviously I'm like speculating here, but it's like once you get rid of second world and then, and you have these third world countries who were never allied with a superpower,
yeah,
then
sure.
they wouldn't have anywhere near the level of industrialization. Oh, so exactly. Then it kind of becomes when it's just first and third and you don't have the Soviet Union to look at, you're like, oh, it's the rich and poor countries.
Yeah.
Fun fact, the literature, I believe, from what I've been reading now refers to third world as the global south.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Is the that's the like accepted legal jurisprudence term. That's what you read in like, academic articles.
In writing, when there's first and third person is when you're allied with the US.
Yes. Yeah. And third person is when you're poor.
Is neutral. When you're poor, yeah. yeah. Second person is when you're with Russia. Yeah,
Only poor people write in third person.
Yeah.
It's
funny because third person is more complicated than first person.
Ooh.
To get right.
Second person is very hard to get right.
Second person is fucked.
Yeah.
It's because it's I'm talking to you. Like, I'm the book, you're the reader,
yes,
and I'm
right.
talking to you.
That's right.
I don't even want to write. Like, I'm not a writer, but I've always wanted to try and write a full book in second person.
Don't. Mm. It's bad.
I want to. I think it'd be fun.
It's literally one of the first things they teach you in writing at university. They just go, don't try doing second person. Don't do it.
Oh, but it'd be fun.
But what if you did?
What if you did?
Huh? What if you did?
Anywho, so away from the third world and back to London. Bloody with Boris Johnson it soon and Brexit it soon might be a third world, am I right, kids?
Oh,
right.
No.
Blah, blah, blah.
uh-huh.
So, yeah, there was a nickname for the water of the Thames. It was called Monster Soup.
Oh, no.
Because they just had no idea what the fuck was in it. So, yeah, brick sewers had been built in London from the 17th century with sections of the Fleet and Walbrook rivers. They were covered for that purpose.
Mm.
So they were just like, they were the shit rivers.
Sure.
That's where the shit went. In the century preceding 1856, over 100 sewers were constructed in London. And at that date, the city had about 200,000 cesspits and 360 sewers. Some cesspits leaked methane and other gases, which were often caught fire and exploded,
oh, no.
leading to the loss of life, while many sewers were in poor state of repair. What a way to go. At the pearly gates, and Sir Peter's like, and how did you die, my son? I got exploded. In poo.
It's so tragic too, because you'd never see it coming.
Nah.
It's just like one moment you'd be walking down the street, and the next it's just like body bits and shit everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah.
That's how I want to go.
Yeah. That's a Thursday night for me.
Do you guys want to hear a poem about the dirty river?
Oh, please.
Filthy river, foul from London to the north. What art thou but one vast gutter, one tremendous shitty shore?
That's good. It's
nice. I like it.
I like
short,
it.
Short and sweet.
Yeah,
poem.
Short and sweet. I love it.
So, yeah, where was I? During the early 19th century, improvements had been undertaken in the supply to waters to Londoners, and by 1858, many of the city's medieval wooden water pipes were being replaced with iron ones. This combined with the introduction of flushing toilets and the rising... When did toilets become a thing?
Ooh, crap.
And the rising
right?
of the city population were just under 1 million to 3 million. Wow. Led to more water being flushed into the sewers along with the associated effluent. The outfalls, slaughterhouses... Fuck.
Yikes.
It had already fallen. So all of this shit was just going into the river.
Yeah.
It's insane to think that there was a point where we just didn't think that that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
At least
well.
At least now all of the like disasters we're causing, we know are happening. We're just choosing to do them anyway. But back then, it's like, you just don't even know. Like, yeah, not knowing that you should put the shit somewhere else.
Do you reckon they had, like, we have, like, climate change deniers? They had, like, shit river deniers?
Yeah.
Great stink deniers.
Well, the miasma theory is an obsolete medical theory that held diseases such as cholera, chlamydia, and the Black Death were caused by miasma. A noxious form of bad air, also known as the night air.
There was a whole period of medicine where the prevailing theory. It was shortly after the humoral system kind of phased out. I'm pretty sure the miasma theory was the next major one.
Huh.
But yeah, it was like we just believed that it was bad smells.
Huh.
Like that's it.
Is that why they had like those smelling things for like waking people or whatever? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know anything about those, but yeah. I do know that the beak on a plague doctor's mask was so that they could put like nice smelling stuff in there.
Oh, because cool.
They thought that would filter the plague out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It didn't.
Oh, no.
What?
So, no.
No, the scary mask scared the plague away.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's
what it did. That's all I got on the big... There's a lot more on the big stink, the great stink, the big sick. the big sick, great film.
Yeah, Kamel. Kamel,
so yeah, but yeah, I kind of now I just want to know when toilets became like common.
Well, because Thomas Crapper, right? He invented
what?
Thomas Crapper,
genuinely?
Yeah,
yeah. Did you know
English plumber? Oh, who?
You weren't.
I was
kidding?
Not joking. We exchanged a glance when I first said it. He founded Thomas Crapper and Co. in London, a sanitary equipment company. Crapper held 9 patents.
Is that where the word crap comes from?
Yes.
Whoa!
Whoa! Oh, I should have saved this and done it as an article.
We should save it for...
it's become part of my article. Great. It has often been claimed in popular culture that the slang term for the human bodily waste, crap, originated with Thomas Crapper because of the association with lavatories. A common version of this story is that the American serviceman stationed in England during World War I saw his name on cisterns and used it as army slang, i.e. I'm going on the crapper. The word crap is actually, so it's not.
Oh.
The word is actually of Middle Eastern origin and predates its application to bodily waste. It most likely etymological origin is a combination of two older words. The Dutch krappen, to pluck off, cut off, or separate when you're pinching. And the old French crappe, not to be confused with crepe.
Of course. You definitely don't want to confuse it with crepe.
Really do not want to get
nice,
that one
nice
mixed
Nutella
up.
Crepe, boys.
So,
sifting's waste or rejected matter. In English, it was used to refer to chaff and also to weeds and other rubbish. The first application to bodily waste, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, appeared in 1846 using a reference to a crapping ken or a privy, where ken means a house. So there you go.
While we're just... going off on a little bit of a tangent. Also, feel free to contact us through Facebook for my family's traditional recipe for monster soup. It's delicious.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I actually have had that. It's
oh, yeah. Really to die for.
What do you know each other, Haggis, Lachlan?
Oh, no, he's back.
What do you know each other, Haggis?
Oh, no.
All right, those are our three. Who started? You started, Drew. What do you have?
No, I'm judging.
He's judging.
Oh, you're judging.
You
I started.
You dingus.
I'm
you
so started. Tired.
Just because of that.
So I did the first one, and I did print Wikipedia. Print Wikipedia was mine.
Yeah. I don't think we're allowed this.
I don't think
if we speak over it, it's fine.
Oh, good to know. Well, I did the silly boy laws. All those silly laws.
The silly laws.
And I did the big stink, and then we talked about poo.
And then we talked about
and crap.
Talked about poo. Well, I can't go past the big stink.
I really like
yeah,
the
it's
big
good.
Stink.
Very
thanks for the win, boys.
That was beautiful.
That was very
look, I got to admit,
nice.
I wasn't sold on the Golden Girls at the start, but you brought it
Boy,
back.
Boy, how did I bring them
back?
You
brought it back.
That's what those girls do.
That's what those girls do. Betty White, come on the show.
They tug at your heartstrings. Very well done, Curtis.
Oh,
Lang.
God.
It's so soft.
I'm so sorry, James. Did you want Betty on the show? Oh.
Don't tell me.
I need a call back. Sorry. I didn't
know. Did you kill Betty White?
I just didn't think we'd be interested.
Oh, no.
We could have had Betty on the podcast.
Oh, Betty,
she actually reached out to me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right. This is a song called Call to Adventure, but let's just pretend it's called Call to Betty. Hey, Betty, come on the show.
Oh.
Hey, Betty.
Wait.
Is this the
theme
song?
Is this the Dungeon Deep Dive theme song?
Yes.
Hey, well, that's a beautiful segue into our exiting segment. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Unfeatured Articles this week. We did an episode on Wikipedia stuff. I've been Lachlan Hoy. Or at least that's what my license says.
Boy. No. Talk about your Dungeon Deep Dive podcast.
Okay. Well, I was going to let you guys see your names for. Oh, whatever. So.
Ear cancer.
Yeah. For more of my voice and the voice of other people, check out Dungeon Deep Dive. It's another That's Not Canon podcast. It's just basically we do all the legwork for your world building shit for RPGs and creative right. Just any kind of fantasy thing, really.
Role playing games, D&D, Dungeon World.
D&D's the focus, but it's like it's kind of universally applicable. We just look at like the history and then kind of how to get around the limitations that history imposed and what stuff you could do with things when you get it in your show. We did a thing on pirates. I think breweries will be up by now.
Breweries?
Yeah, breweries. Oh. Breweries and brewing generally, just kind of alcoholic drinks.
Cool.
It's good fun.
There's talk of a Star Wars episode.
Oh.
I wonder who will be on that one.
Oh. We actually weren't looking to bring anyone in.
Wow.
There's no one that we know that knows anything about Star Wars that we'd like to have on the show, so.
Fucking hell. Like, it's my one definable personality. I lost my words because
you
I'm
did?
So
yeah.
upset.
Yeah. Come on.
It kept going.
Come on. I'll take that thing away from you. I will turn this car around. No! You put the no over it? Turn it off.
Dad.
Yeah, turn it off. I told you to be responsible. Anyway, you can find us on...
I don't know why you don't like it when I use it.
I like it when you use it, just use it responsibly.
I do use it responsibly.
I do use it responsibly.
This has been Unfeatured Articles.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
You can find any of the older podcasts on apps like Stitcher and Google Play and iTunes and Spotify.
Yeah, you can.
It's on there and, you know.
Meow.
And as always,
browse responsibly.
So, what should I listen to now?
We are Castology. This is our podcast about podcasts. We are your castologists, Patrick Shearer,
Liz Best,
and Zainty Weber.
Each week, we'll bring you three of the best and sometimes not so best podcasts around. We'll also do the hard work and trawl the RSS feeds to find the newest podcast that should be on your radar.
And then next week, we come back and tell you what we thought of the recommendations and bring three new sparkling podcasts to check out.
Now, will we always agree with each other's picks?
Probably not. But hey, you're clever. You know that's how reviews work.
We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcatcher of your choice.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.